Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, June 18th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The U.S. Coast Guard and Sitka Mountain Rescue safely medevaced a female hiker from a ridge above Sitka on Sunday afternoon. Christine Horan, 62, is co-director of the Sitka Alpine Adventure Run, one of the premier endurance events in the state. Horan and her husband Charles were inspecting the race route when she startled a brown bear, fell, and broke her hip joint. Sitka Mountain Rescue was notified of the incident at about 3:45 in the afternoon. Christine Horan did not actually see the bear, she surprised. She only heard it. Sitka Mountain Rescue Captain Don Cluding was not so lucky.
You know, our subject probably startled the bear, and it headed on out down the trail. And, I was headed right for it and came around a corner, and boom, there it was right on the trail.
Cluding said his encounter with the bear probably was not much different than Horan's.
I think the bear had the startled response, and I had the startled response, and we all came to a quick stop, and it failed.
Because of the rugged terrain, a Coast Guard helicopter was unable to land at the scene. Instead, a crew lowered a rescue swimmer to direct a hoist. Once aboard the helicopter, Horan was flown to Sitka's Mount Edgecombe Hospital, where she was stabilized. A subsequent medevac transported her to Alaska Native Medical Center in Anchorage for orthopedic surgery. Cluding says 14 members of the Sitka Mountain Rescue were involved in the mission, along with Sitka Fire Department and EMS. Many of the responders climbed the trail on foot. With sunshine and warm temperatures, Cluding says it was not a bad day's work.
You know, the best possible scenario was in our favor yesterday. We were able to get the patient stabilized and transported or packaged in the Coast Guard litter and then transported out relatively quickly.
Horan's husband, Charles, says she is doing well and is aware of the irony in her situation. The Sitka Alpine Adventure Run will celebrate its 20th anniversary this year and has never had a major injury. Charles Horan says that the Gavin Ridge Trail is rapidly clearing of snow and that his wife fell on dry gravel. The race is scheduled for Saturday, July 20th, and will take place as planned. A portion of downtown Sitka will not be closed to vehicles for the next couple Wednesdays, despite previous plans. A group hoping to improve the look and feel of Sitka's downtown was trying to see if a pedestrian mall might boost commerce along Lincoln Street. But the city temporarily suspended the street closures on Monday until the assembly has a chance to discuss the issue. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Usually, you don't need the assembly's approval to close a city street. Take parades, for example. You go to the police department at least 15 days beforehand, you pay $50, and, well, that's it, really. But Interim City Administrator Jay Sweeney says this situation is different for two reasons.
The length of time and the fact that it is closed basically to encourage utilization of the main street corridor for entertainment and or merchandising purposes.
Sweeney says parades are pretty straightforward. So is the running of the boots when Lincoln Street is closed for runners and free food, or Halloween when the streets are shut down to give candy to children. But he says the pedestrian mall involving merchants requires the city to make some decisions.
For example, the closure plans as they exist now close half of downtown. So questions have come up from merchants and others who are located outside of the barricaded area. And a question being, can I come inside the barricaded area? If so, where do I set up? Who is going to assign what spaces? Who is going to monitor who can and cannot be inside those areas?
Three more street closures had been planned: June 19th, June 26th, and July 3rd. That last one, July 3rd, is still on the calendar. Sweeney's suspension only affects the next two.
I don't know. I guess I'm glad more people are getting involved.
Cindy Gibson is one of the volunteers with the Downtown Revitalization Group. She coordinated the street closures, and she says the delay is not a setback, but rather part of the learning process.
I'd like to try it again, but if it doesn't work, you know, if we just can't make it work for everybody, then it's not fair, and I don't want to do something that's not fair. And, there were many things that I didn't understand or know when we, when we embarked on this that are, still unfolding.
The initial closure on June 12th generated a lot of feedback. Some merchants said they loved it. Others said they felt left out. Our initial story on the closure generated a handful of comments on Facebook and on our own website. Some people praised the revitalization group for giving it a try. Others said it was an inconvenience to motorists and put the interests of visitors and merchants over the needs of residents. Sweeney, with the city, says the assembly hopes to hear from the public when it takes up the issue on its next agenda. That will happen at the regular assembly meeting set for June 25th at 6 p.m. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Construction-related blasting up at Ketchikan's Whitman Lake Hydroelectric Dam site triggered a landslide Saturday, taking out two pipes that supply water for the Whitman Hatchery. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
To keep you from worrying, the fish are okay. But it was touch and go there for a while.
The worst case scenario for a hatchery, we lost both pipelines.
That's Bill Gass, the production manager up at the Whitman Lake Hatchery. He says the accident ended up cutting off all the water for the hatchery, and as one might imagine, water is kind of important to the business.
Water is everything to a fish, and our normal operating capacity at this time of year would be about 9,000 to 10,000 gallons a minute flowing through the hatchery. Without a water supply, your hatchery is nothing. It's everything. It's the only thing.
Quick action, a lot of trips to haul water, and a long night spent clearing debris from the pipes save the vast majority of the developing salmon. Gas says they usually lose about 200 a day at the fry stage anyway, and the mishap might have increased that daily loss to 1,000. That's out of about 2.5 million.
These are kings and cohos, emergent fish from this year. There's about a million Chinook that will be, 750,000 will be released at Whitman Lake, and another 250,000 go to Neats Bay.
And 1.4 million coho slated for release in various locations. Jenny Holstrom is the City of Ketchikan's project engineer for the Whitman Dam construction. She explained what happened after the mishap.
We immediately activated our contingency plan for that situation. We switched over to an emergency oxygen supply at the hatchery and began setting up a system of pumps and tanker trucks to deliver water.
She says Dawson and S&S contractors worked through the night Saturday to clear the debris and reach the pipeline. They replaced a section of one pipe, and it was operating within 24 hours after it had been severed. The second pipe still needs to be repaired, but the hatchery can operate on one in the meantime. Holstrom says many people contributed to keeping the hatchery operating.
It was a long, anxious night, but we were able to keep the fish and the raceways alive. And I am just so pleased at the outcome and the response of everybody who helped. Everybody just worked together and worked very hard to keep the hatchery going, and I'm very grateful and pleased.
Gass agrees that it was a stressful night and that many people contributed to keeping the fish alive.
I think the incident occurred at about 6 o'clock, 6:30 on a beautiful Saturday afternoon, and most of the staff was out barbecuing or doing whatever people do at this time, and people came in and spent the night on call, stringing hose and manning pumps and doing what we could down below while Dawson put the pipe back together up above. And it turned out well.
Holstrom says project officials learned a lot from the incident. While the contingency plan worked, they saved the fish after all, they will adjust it in case it's needed again. And that is a possibility.
Well, we do have more excavation and blasting to do. We're looking at the area again now, but due to the terrain, there's just no getting around it. We will review and refine our contingency plans based on our experience last weekend, but we'll just continue to move forward with the project.
So it's possible that this might happen again?
It's possible. We'll do everything we can to prevent it, but there's just no way to eliminate that risk entirely.
The hatchery at Whitman Lake opened in 1978 and is operated by the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association. The long-planned Whitman Lake hydroelectric project has been on the city's radar since 1997, when that site was identified as the best opportunity to add power to Ketchikan's grid. After years of planning, the city came close to abandoning the project last fall because the construction bids came in at nearly double the estimate. After reducing the scope of the project, though, the city eventually opted to move forward with the nearly $17 million dam. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Senate's version of the Sea Alaska Lands Bill is scheduled for markup early this morning before the Chamber's Energy and Natural Resources Committee. It's one of a dozen measures before the panel during a meeting that started at 6 a.m. Alaska time. Once the bill is marked up, it's usually ready to go to the Senate floor. It can be part of a package of legislation, stand on its own, or not be heard at all. If the Sea Alaska measure moves to the floor, it's expected to be part of a lands legislation package. A Fairbanks senator plans to introduce legislation that would keep the names of those who signed initiatives and referenda private. Republican Senator Pete Kelly, in a release, says a goal of his proposal is to reduce the ease of which individuals can sell fresh lists of Alaska voter names and identifiers for nefarious purposes. The State Division of Elections currently treats the signers of the petition are public information, though Director Gail Fainumiai says that doesn't include information protected by law, such as Social Security numbers and dates of birth. Kelly's proposal is still being drafted. His office says he plans to introduce it when the next legislature convenes in January. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or you'd like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka Zone weather. Expect some mostly cloudy, isolated thunderstorms in the morning, scattered showers, highs 59 to 65, southwest wind 10 miles per hour, becoming northwest 5 miles per hour late in the afternoon, gusts to 25 miles per hour near the thunderstorms. Tonight, mostly cloudy, isolated showers, lows around 51. Southwest wind 5 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light and variable. Wednesday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers, highs 59 to 65, northwest wind 10 miles per hour. And Thursday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with isolated showers, highs 59 to 65, northwest wind 10 miles per hour. And this weekend, expect rain with highs 57 to 63. You are listening to KCAW Sitka.